In both the first reading and the gospel, there is an unnamed widow. And both of these unnamed widows seem to be at the end of their rope. In the Old Testament, she was going to bake a little bit of bread and then expected that she and her son would die from starvation. In the New Testament, Jesus names her financial status as poverty. And yet both of these women act with the utmost kindness and charity. Elijah asked her to bring him a cupful of water, and without hesitation, she stops gathering the sticks for a fire for her and her son and goes to get his water. When Elijah asks her for a bit of bread, she apologizes because she says that she was baking the last of the flour for her and her son, and then they'd be out. Now, what strikes me is that she held out hope to the end. She kept hoping and believing that God would rescue them. You know, if I was on the point of starvation, it could be really easy to justify being cranky, let alone being stingy. We're about to die here. Get your own cup of water. Or else, if you want bread, go to the rich. Don't come and beg or steal the little I have for my son. But this impoverished, unnamed widow at death's door acts with such kindness, which makes me believe that this was a well-practiced habit for her. She wasn't just being polite to a stranger. Over the course of her life, she had cultivated a generous heart and a hopeful spirit. Maybe that's why the Lord sent Elijah to her. In the gospel, Jesus contrasts the widow in poverty with the scribes who show off in fancy clothes, spend their time taking advantage of wealthy widows. They would never have made time for a poor one. Jesus condemns them for making lengthy prayers. Now, there's nothing wrong with prayers, nor with lengthy prayers. But he does condemn the scribes because their prayers were not directed to God. They were aimed at those wealthy widows to get at more of their wealth. Over the course of their lives, these scribes were cultivating greedy hearts and conniving spirits. The scribes would certainly have argued that they knew God. They could go on at length about God. But it was really themselves dressed up as God that they worshipped. The poverty-stricken, unnamed widow, on the other hand, knew God enough to trust him with her last 2 cents. She trusted him enough to be completely stripped of the pillars of this world. She'd already lost her husband. She had no means of financial support. And yet she continued to give to God. Like the woman in the Old Testament, that reveals that over the course of her life, she had been cultivating sacrificial generosity and a trusting heart. Jesus says that all the others contributed from their surplus wealth. The Greek there more literally says that the others contributed from their surplus, implying that this is not just about money, but rather that over the course of their lives, these other contributors had been cultivating putting their needs first, their wants second, and their God as the leftovers. Jesus doesn't want leftovers. He says pretty clearly in the last line of today's gospel, he wants our whole livelihood. Over the course of our lives, what have we been cultivating? What kind of heart? What kind of spirit? In the second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews, we're told that Christ came the first time to take away the sins of many, and that he will appear a second time to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. When's the last time you named your sins to let him take them away from you? And if we're not eagerly awaiting him, does that mean that we're focused on this world? On advancement in this world? On work, on family, on pleasure, on video games, on sleep, on clothes, on appearance? Or even our prayers really directed only at ourselves and our own interests? How often in the course of making it in this world do we look up, remembering that all of this will disappear? But God and the things of God will not. What do you need to do to cultivate the generous heart, the hopeful spirit, the sacrificial generosity, the loving trust of those widows in today's readings? How do we break out of the prison of our own selfish egos and begin to see the beauty of the others around us and the surpassing beauty of the Christ who's always right beside us? So whether at length or at short, talk to him. Tell him you love him now. Tell him you want to cultivate a generous heart. You want to cultivate a sacrificial life, a hopeful spirit. Offer to him your whole livelihood. Lay it on the altar with the other gifts. Here is our temple treasury, where we can make an offering not from our surplus, but from our whole livelihood. Today begins the week of National Week of Awareness of Vocations. Vocation Awareness Week, however that goes. So the question is that poses to me and I pose to all of us is, our vocation is our whole livelihood. Am I making an offering of my whole vocation, whether that's married, single, a priest, religious, to the Lord, for not just my own good, but for the good of the church and the world? Here's the homework for the week. Do a poverty check this week and give away the clothes or the other items that you haven't used in the last 2 months. Let it be an exercise of trusting in God that he will care for you as he cared for the two widows.